Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and we are excited to be in the land of the living on this side of heaven, and I am in studio again with my blessed co-host, Minister Harold Copeland, and we just exuberate the joy of the Lord, and we pray that you do the same. So, yay, God, to that. And we are, again, in our wonderful teaching series under the umbrella of discipleship. And we're focusing our attention on part two of righteousness by grace. Hallelujah. Christ is full of grace. He is full of grace. Always remember that, my brothers and sisters, that Christ is full of grace, and those who know him get showered with grace upon grace. So Minister Harold Copeland is going to pick up with part two of this rich lesson, righteousness by grace, out of his fullness, the superabundance of his grace and truth. We have all received grace upon grace, supernatural blessings upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. And that's right out of John 1:16. Now, I read that in the Amplified Translation, but understand the intensity, the depth upon his grace and his favor upon us. So, for by grace we have been saved through faith. And this is not our own doing, my brothers and sisters. It is the gift of God, not a result of works. So that none of us, no, not one of us, may boast, according to Ephesians 2:8-9. So I want to bring to the mic our wonderful teacher of God's word in this beautiful series under the umbrella of discipleship. And our focus is righteousness by grace. Brother Harold, if you could lead us through the word of God.
Amen. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In all things, give thanks. And notice that scriptures say, in all things. Not for all things, but in the midst of it all. There was a song out about 5 years ago, and it went, the lyrics was, praise him in the middle of it. Hallelujah. And see, that's in all things. Give thanks. Praise him in the middle of it. For this is the will of God. It's God's will for us to praise him in all things, the good, the bad, the ugly. For this is the will of God, for us to praise him in the middle of it. The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. That's my favorite scripture. Hello, everybody. God bless you. We welcome you again. As you know, I am Brother Harold Copeland, and along with our great host, Minister Carnita Smith, guess what? We are in studio together again and again and again and again. We always like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio. We want you to know that it's always an honor and always a privilege to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the word. We want you to know we love you. We appreciate you. We thank God for your lives. But remember, most importantly, God loves you. And he loves you just the way you are. He has a plan for you, for your life. And every time you open your heart and receive the word of God, our God is downloading revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Take you, yes, you to your divine destiny and to the divine plan that God has for your life, and it's going to happen, and you too shall fulfill God's plan and God's call for your life. And as was said today, we're still in our series under the umbrella of discipleship, and the topic that we'll teaching on today is part two of Righteousness by Grace. And we're going to go ahead and dive on into the teaching, but we always like to start out with our launch pad scripture. And our launch pad scripture for this series under the umbrella of discipleship comes out of the book of Matthew, chapter number 28, starting with verse 16 and ending with verse 20.
Amen. Matthew 28:16. And then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Amen. Topic. Part two. Righteousness by grace. And our foundational scripture for this topic will come out of the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 21, 22, and
23. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteous of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Amen. And just in case you missed the teaching last week, but you can always go back to the podcast and pull it up and go over it again. It's available 24/7. I'm going to start out with our definitions again. We will start out with the definition of righteousness. And what we get is a quality our state of being made, keyword made morally correct, been made morally correct, and been made, keyword again, justifiable as righteousness, made morally correct, made justifiable. Righteousness can be considered synonymous with rightness or being made upright. And we take the layman's terms, the average Christian definition, and what we get is having right standing with God. Or we can say giving or being made. Giving, being made, right standing with God. Oh, that's so beautiful. Right standing with God. Righteousness. And then we look at grace. It's righteousness by grace, and what was it explained and earlier? It's unmerited favor, unmerited. Unmerited means unearned, and that's why I emphasize being made right, unearned. And that's what the Spirit want to bring out the teaching and the scripture that was read, not of works. Amen. I hope you sense what I'm sensing. We're going to go on into the teaching and allow the Spirit of God to manifest this truth. In all reality, what we're trying to do through the Word of God and by the Spirit of God is cut out the performance gospel in the body of Christ. Yes, notice I say in the body of Christ. That means that people are saved and have been adopted into the family of God. But they think that they have to perform in his presence. And what we get is a spirit of competition among the brethren, one trying to outdo the other. One trying to position themselves so that they can get a closer righteousness than the other one. But that's not God's way. That's not God's way. That's man's way. And let's go ahead and use that ugly word. That's religion. Amen. And religion kills. But being made right through a relationship that gives life. And as Jesus said himself, and it's the life, not just any type of life, it's the life Jesus came to give us. And what he says in John 10:10b, the big part, but I come that you may have life. Hallelujah. And that life more abundantly. Righteousness by grace. Now, what that foundation of scripture was saying, that God, somebody say God, God is offering his own righteousness without the law. That's so good to my spirit. Okay, God, let's break it down. Not the denomination that one may attend. Not even the church one goes to is offering this. And we can even break it down just a little bit more. Not even the pastor. the pastor can offer us this. But God himself is offering his own righteousness. Let's stop there. They just didn't say a righteousness. Amen. Say God is offering a righteousness. You know, that could be any kind of righteousness. God is offering his own righteousness to us. Amen. Offering us a righteousness that equal to his. Glory to God. What was that? Campbell soup. It was saying Campbell soup's use of Heather's advertisement. Good. Campbell soup just didn't know what good was. I tell you what good is. God is offering his own righteousness, a righteousness equal to his, us, whoever believes. Whoa, let me say that again. Good. And it say without the law. So let's bring without the law in there. That means without us trying to, we'll start out by saying keeping the law. You're coming into God's presence saying, God, I did this, and God, I did that, and I tithed, I sing in a choir, and I ushered, and I gave to the missions, and I went on a mission trip. Well, God don't want to hear that. Amen. That's performance, trying to earn a righteousness. But they say without the law, I don't lie. I like the way the country boys say it. They say, I don't lie, I don't steal, I don't chew, and I don't hang around those that do. Amen. That's a self-righteousness. Amen. That's a performance of righteousness. Glory to God. It's not about us. Amen. By grace, that was read. And we gave that definition of grace, unmerited, unearned, amen. Can't earn it, so we shouldn't waste our time trying to earn it, amen, because we can't earn it. I mean, we, you know, just hear my heart, but we would work ourselves to a frenzy trying to earn it. We'll never get there. But man, that's why God said, rest. Rest in this dispensation of rest because of that beautiful grace that's wrapped in the agape, the unconditional love of God. Amen. I love you unconditionally, and I pour out my grace, unmerited favor, and you rest. Amen. Rest and receive. Now, a righteousness that is according to the law, is a righteousness of us. Let's put all of us in here. According to the law is a righteousness of us, all of us doing, all of us earning, all of us achieving. Now that's according to the law. And while we're doing all this, I'm glad you asked, in order to be accepted by God, we're trying to make it happen. Amen. We're not letting it stay in God's hand, but we say, God, I got this. I got this. Look at my doing. Look at my earning. Look at my achievement. Now, in the world's religion, I mean all the world's religion, and you've seen some of them, yes, you've seen them, and they think they have to earn. They think they have to do, and they think they have to achieve in order for God to accept them. And that's why we say word religion, because that's all that is. That's religion trying to perform in the presence of God. That is not having an intimate relationship with the one who loved you And the one, glory to God, once you pull on his love from the inside out, you'll learn to love him. Once we get that revelation, through revelation, that revealed, that's wisdom revealed by the Holy Spirit, get the revelation of how much God loves us, amen, in spite of us, amen, it will blow our mind. Hallelujah. For God said in the scripture, it's not that you love me, but I, he's talking about himself, he say, I first love you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And once we get that revelation, we'll love him. And I heard some on Christian TV that just touched my heart. This preacher, powerful man of God, was talking about having that intimacy, amen, having that hand-on, day-to-day, moment-by-moment, intimate relationship with God. He was talking about getting in there from the inside out. Glory to God. Heart-to-heart, spirit-to-spirit relationship. That's what he was talking about. And he said, the way to get there, he said, don't try to love God. Ask God to love you. Hallelujah. Just be still and know that he's God. Hallelujah. And he wants to love on you if you give him the permission. Glory to God. God, come love on me. Lord, I open my heart that you may come and love on me. Through and through. Hallelujah. From the inside out. Glory to God. From the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Righteousness. Amen. I hope this sounds to you like it sounds to me. Because in my heart and my spirit, man, it sounds like good news. Hallelujah. And I hope it sounds like good news to you. Because that's what the gospel means. The gospel means good news. And the good news of the gospel is God himself is offering his own righteousness, his own acceptance to all who will believe in what Jesus Christ has already provided for us. See, Jesus did the works. Amen. That's why Paul said, if I boast on anything, I boast on Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because Jesus did the work. Amen. We can't boast on our works because our works are dead works. Jesus' death on the cross for our sin. I just say hallelujah for everybody. His death on the cross for, and I left out that beautiful word, all of our sins. Amen. We got to tell the truth of this gospel. Death on the cross for all of our sins. And we explain sins of yesterday, sins of today, sins of tomorrow, sins of forever. But you say, how I know you're going to commit a sin today? You will. How you know I'm going to commit one to? You will. You will. That's why God paid it all. Because he knew you will. He knew I will. Amen. He's an all-knowing God. Imputing, and because of this death, paying the price for all of us, and it imputes. And that word is beautiful. And we're going to get that term and just get the beauty of it into our hearts and our minds and our souls. Imputing is accounting term. They use it in bookkeeping. And when finances or anything is added to your account, they impute it to your account, put it on the record, amen. Let it be known that it belongs to you or me or whoever the account belongs to. And that's what God did with the righteousness. He imputed it. It was given. He imputed it. Amen. If I gave you $100 and imputed it on your account, it was given to you. It was imputed. Imputed. But it's yours now, because it's in your account. It's under your name. And that's the way the righteousness comes. It's imputed to him. It didn't belong to us. We could earn it. We didn't earn it and weren't able to earn it. But it was given, imputed to us. And now it's ours. And there's no devil, no demon, no principality that can take this righteousness away from us. Even our failures and mistakes can't take this righteousness away from us, because it belonged to us, given to us by God. And this is the righteousness of God that is apart from the law. Amen. And we have to separate the law from this dispensation of the New Testament covenant that we have with God. Now, the Old Testament covenant was the law. They had to keep the law because they didn't have a Lord and they didn't have a Savior. Amen. But in the New Covenant, Jesus shows up. Amen. And he becomes our Lord and our Savior, and he does the work. He lives this sinless life in the presence of God. Amen. And died and paid the price for all of our sin and made himself available so we can receive him by believing. And we get the righteousness he earned. I know there's one scripture say that he took our unrighteousness, our sin, and he gave us his holiness and his righteousness. And what the theologians call that, the great exchange. You know, it changed one for another, you know, making it change. And we make it change every day, but there's no great exchange than the great exchange. Amen. There's no greater exchange than the great exchange. That Jesus taken our unrighteousness, our unholiness, our sinfulness, and return giving us his righteousness, his holiness, and his sinlessness, and imputing it, imputing, you remember that word, to us, to our name, to our account. And now we are the righteousness of God, hallelujah, in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 3, I want to emphasize verse 22. Let's read verse 22 again. Romans 3:22.
Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no
yes.
difference.
So the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We all need a Savior, and we all need a Lord. And there's only one Lord, and there's only one Savior. And his name is Jesus Christ. Say, unto all and upon all. It's for everybody. Amen. We are all in need. Glory to God. We can't bring our resume to God and think that our resume would get us into this position of righteousness. What we do is we take Jesus' resume. Amen. If God ever asks, why should I give you my righteousness? We take the resume because of what Jesus does. Hallelujah. Glory to God, because of what Jesus done for me. And God will say, I freely give and you freely receive. No other question asked. No other question asked. And it goes on to say, you know, why do we need this righteousness? And the end of that scripture say, there's no difference. You know, we're all the same. But he said, there's no distinction. He said, we are all the same. That's everybody. And he said, we all have sinned. That's what we got in common before we came to Jesus. Amen. We were sinners that had come short of the glory of God. In other words, come short of receiving the righteousness that it requires to be in the presence of God. Amen. And because of that sin, we'll never get to this holy God. And that's why we're all in need of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't care what denomination anybody in, but Jesus has to be the Lord and Savior in that denomination. Amen. To enter into God's presence as righteous. You know, it don't matter, you know, what church a person go to. The only thing that matters is Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior in that church to enter in to righteousness. And it don't matter what type of Christian one calls themselves, the only thing that matters is Jesus Christ. It's the Lord and Savior that is being offered in that ministry. We all need this Lord and Savior. I have sinned. You have sinned. And we all have come short of God's standard fashion. Because of our sin, the greatest thing, greatest, E-S-T on the end, that of all things that we think we need or think we desire, but the greatest of all things that we need is acceptance and a right relationship. And right standing with God. Now, there are some hearts that may say, the greatest thing I need is a house. Don't be deceived by carnality. Somebody may say, the greatest thing I need is my dream car. Man. Amen. The greatest thing I need is to get into my profession so I can start working into my profession. And, you know, there are some people that say, oh, if I was only a millionaire, only a billionaire, I'd be all right. But without right standing with God, I use the word Paul used. Paul say, oh, that is rubbish. He said, I count it all as done. Amen. And done is like filth. He said, I count it all like done. Amen. For the glory. To attain the glory. He says, nothing to attain. Compared to attain the glory, the righteousness, the relationship, the walk. Glory to God. This God. So the greatest thing we need is acceptance, right relationship and right standing with God. And God tells us in Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first. Amen. That is the first. I'll automatically take it to the greatest, because that means above everything, first. And so what is that? The kingdom of God. Amen. To put God first. That means, glory to God, get accepted in the presence of God. Get into a right relationship with God first. Get in right standing with God first. And the scriptures say, in all these things will be added. That means the lesser things, the house, the car, that dream job, the bank account, that dream vacation. He said those lesser things will be added if you put the greater thing first. And the greater thing, which is a righteous relationship with our God. And God is offering this 24/7. This is relationship. This is right standing. And he's offering it without us having to perform to get it. All we have to do is believe. And you know how I teach this. When I use the word believe, believe, I always point from the heart to the heart of Christ. A belief from our hearts to the heart of Christ. Faith. Faith from our hearts to the heart of Christ. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And we can receive this great righteousness that is equal to God's righteousness. That don't come by us performing, working, trying, earning, attempt to achieve. It comes through faith, dependence, and reliance upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just sense Holy Spirit just opening up the gate and the avenue that and giving one the opportunity. Believe in Jesus to release their faith into the heart of Jesus Christ and freely accept what he has already done for us, that one position oneself to receive the benefit that comes with what Jesus Christ has attained for us. And I know there's someone that desires that righteous relationship today, so I'm going to stop, drop, and pray under the command of the Spirit of God. And I'm going to release it to the woman of God, Minister Kenita Smith, and let her do what God has anointed her to do, and that's to take us to the cross to see Jesus. Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is a time, as Minister Harold and I say, it's a time of importance. It's a time that we come to the foot of grace. And we make our petition known. But before we go there, as Minister Harold was just pouring out the word of God and explaining to us the grace of God, the Lord brought me to the book of Titus. And in the book of Titus in chapter 3, and make note of this, verses 1 through 5, or you can follow along with me. I want to read those verses in Titus chapter 3. So if you would, follow along with me. And it just goes right with what Minister Harold is expressing to us as the body of Christ, the importance of us to know that we know that we know. And it reads this way. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration, renewing of the of the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope, eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. And that's Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And it just parallels beautifully with what Minister Harold is teaching us today concerning righteousness by grace and how we were so messed up, and as the young people may say, jacked up in our life, that it only could take the grace, and that's capital T and capital G, R-A-C-E, to renew us. And so now this brings us to whether or not you have come to a place in your life that you want the blessed assurance of knowing that Jesus loves you. And that's what brings us to this time in the broadcast, that we extend Christ, the Word, Jesus himself, to you through salvation. So for those of you who are listening to this broadcast today, it is not by chance. Don't believe it. It is orchestrated by God himself to lead you to Mission from the Heart Radio, that you would be saved. So I pray that you don't hesitate, procrastinate, that you don't do anything to hinder your eternity with him. So if you will come to know him with bowed head, humble heart, as we go to the foot of Jesus, making our petition known through salvation. So my brothers and sisters, if you would help Brother Harold and I, pray with us. Partner alongside us, for where there's two or more gathered together in prayer, there he, Christ Jesus, is in the midst. So let's pray right now. Now, as I repeat myself, this is an intimate time, an important time, a serious time for us to get serious with our life. So if you would bow your head, my brother and my sisters, and let's just make this known and make it ready. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, here I am. Now keep in mind, it's my words, but your heart that God sees. So come to him as humbly as you know how, with a whole heart, not a doubting heart. Lord, here I am. I come to you as humble as I know how. Lord, I give thanks to you for how you have allowed me to still remain here on earth, that I come to you and know you in the pardoning of my sin. Lord, I thank you for Jesus, who died on the cross for me. He didn't have to, but out of his obedience to you, he did. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing Jesus, whose blood shed for me. I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself, but I come to you as my rescue, as my redeemer, as my salvation, as humbly as I know how, Lord. I confess, I surrender, and I give my whole heart to you. I believe your word is true. I know your love for me is strong. You've been tugging on my life for years, and I disobeyed. I ignored you. Lord, forgive me. I believe by faith that Jesus is my Messiah, that he loves me in spite of, and here I am, coming to you, Lord God, asking that you set up residence in my heart, that I may have newness of life, that I know without a shadow of a doubt that eternity is mine. Lord, I love you. I thank you. And here today, I praise you with a lifted heart, saying glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. This is a time that we take serious, that it is so intimate for one lost soul who gives their heart to Christ in all innocence and intimacy that they know how, that we as brothers and sisters in Christ, we celebrate this when they come to know him. And even if we don't know it now on this side of heaven, one day we will know. And I tell you, the day is coming. And I thank you for allowing this ministry, Mission from the Heart Radio, to be a blessing to you. And we encourage you to tell others about this broadcast. Now, one thing we want to say is that you seek out a Bible teaching church, that you will be baptized by submersion of water. And when you come up out of that water, hallelujah, you will set off signals in the world, letting them know that you are a child of God, that you follow Christ not only on this side, but when you lay this body down and fall asleep, you will be alive. Hallelujah. Seek out a small group Bible study within that church, Sunday school, or a small group, so that you will continue to be discipled as we meet with you here every week. So this is a time of rejoicing. This is a time of excitement. This is a time of seriousness. So we encourage you to keep watch, stay prayerful, and continue to read your Bible. That is your weapon. That is your double-edged sword. So thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, my brother and sister who gave their life to Christ today. Brother Harold?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I also congratulate my brothers and sisters who gave their lives to the Lord on this great day. And I would just like to open up my heart and just welcome you into the family of God. Your life will never be the same. And I would like to echo those comments of finding a Bible teaching church, get into a discipleship class, find a Sunday school, continue to listen to Mission from the Heart Radio, and you will grow in your knowledge of the Word of God. Now you are, right now, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have received this righteousness we've been teaching on for the last 2 weeks. And listen carefully. From this point on, you are no longer what you do, but you are who God say you are. Let me say that again. And once you get into a Bible teaching church, you're going to hear this. And you're going to hear it until it get in your heart and you come one with it. You are no longer what you do. You're not identified by what you do. But you are identified. Your identity comes from who the Word of God say you are. So if you, let's say, if you happen to get angry at somebody and you get mad and you say some things you shouldn't have said, that's a doing. You're not what you do. That don't identify you. You are still what the Word of God say you are. You are still righteous. Amen. You do not lose this righteousness by doing. Amen. You can't lose it by doing. And let's look at the facts. We didn't receive it by doing. We did. It was freely given to us. We could have never received it by doing. So you can't lose it by doing. You're not what you do. And you may have some habits, hurts, hang-ups and habits that you're going to have to work on and get processed. Amen. But remember, they do not identify you now. You are identified through the blood of Jesus Christ. And God called you his righteousness. God called you his son and his daughter. Amen. You know, some of us are parents. If our children go do something wrong, they don't lose the identity of being our children. They don't. They don't even lose the love that we have for them. And our love don't decrease. They get our highest level of love. And that never changes. Now, we understand. That's why we get the accountability, because if we are doing things that's not lining up to our identity or righteous, then we reach out to mature believers, those that are spiritual, and they will help us with the word through the promises of God to overcome those hurt habits and hang-ups. So you are only identified by the word of God, and God speaks highly of you. And that will never change, no matter what you do. It will never change. I got two boys. They are my boys, and they're going to be my boys forever. I don't care what they do. They are my boys. I love them with all of my heart, my mind, and my soul. That will never change. I got three grandchildren. I love them. I won't tell my children this, but I love them more than my children. And they just can't do nothing, amen, to stop my love, to separate them from my love. Even if they did get in trouble, me and love going to get them. Glory to God. Because they are not what they do. They have a relationship and they are in a position, and that's the key word. It's the position we've been placed in. It's not what we do, it's what we've been positioned in. And we have been positioned into a righteousness. And I say this, that no devil, no demon, no sin. You know, Paul said, what can separate me from the love of God? No height, no depth. Amen. No principality, no power. Glory to God. Nothing. And even King David said, even if I made my bed in hell, he's going to be there with me. Hallelujah. You in the royal family, glory to God. And you're never separated from the royal family. Amen. And even Paul say, even when his spirit leaves his body, amen, that body may go back to the dirt, but the real him, that spirit going right into the presence of the living God, to be in the presence of the family, to be around the throne of our Heavenly Father. forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Welcome to this holy covenant that God has ordained from his heart that no man could have thought of. Glory to God. Even the scientists and their so-called brilliantness, they couldn't even figure this one out. Amen. This is so high to their mind, they can't reach it. And some of them say it's not even true. Glory to God. But the word of God tells me that his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And his ways are higher than our ways. So you are no longer what you do. You who God say you are. And let's just list some of the things that God said it, that come with this righteousness. Amen. And that means right now you reign in life. And what reign in life means is you rule, glory to God. No matter what's going on in the natural realm, you're no longer in the natural realm. Amen. You've been adopted in the family of God, amen, by the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's a spiritual family. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You have left your natural identity. You don't have a carnal natural identity anymore. Now your identity is spiritual. Amen. You have a spiritual, supernatural kingdom identity, and you rule and you reign in life. Amen. You rule over your circumstances. You rule over your situation. Why? Because your circumstances and situation don't dictate who you are and don't dictate the outcome of your life. Amen. And what dictates your life is God say, no matter what it looks like in the natural realm, he say, in all these things, you are more than a conqueror. And what he's saying is no matter what it looks like, you just trust me and I'm going to bring you out. And we're going to let, as we get to the end of this, we're going to let Brother Abraham model this thing out and show what it looks like. So let's go to Romans chapter 4, and we want to read verses 16 through 25.
Romans 4, 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure all the seed, not only to those who are of law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness.
Amen.
Now.
That's our motto. Abraham, our Jewish father, how he was saved. And that text, scripture text, say Abraham was saved because he believed God, not by his doing. He believed the promises God gave him. And then righteousness was imputed to Abraham's account. Abraham was declared righteous before God through his faith. And this was not just for Abraham. As the scripture text said, it was for us also. That's why we can call him Father Abraham, because he was our example. We are declared righteous through our faith in Jesus Christ. And the word of God says that because of the payment Christ made on the cross when he shed his blood for our sins, righteousness, right standing, will be imputed to any person's account who simply believes upon God. And the word also says in Romans 5, for if by one man offense death reigned by one, much more, something greater happened, much more that which receive abundance of grace, somebody say abundance of grace, and of the gift, that word of righteousness, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And God has offered, is offered, and will always offer his righteousness. It's a gift, all right, standing before him. And remember, a gift does cause something, but not to the person who receives it. And Jesus paid for that gift. And many have received it today, and many are going to receive it forever until he comes. God made righteousness available to you, me, as a gift. And this gift of righteousness is an acquittal. You've been acquitted at the throne of God. Right standing before God comes through faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only. Minister Smith.
Tell you, this has been a wonderful lesson within a lesson. The series Under the Umbrella of Discipleship, and then just focusing on righteousness by grace has just been a beautiful enlightenment. And I pray that these rich nuggets that Minister Copeland and myself have revealed to you in this teaching series Under the Umbrella of Discipleship just permeates through you, saturates your soul, that someone would be blessed by what you share with them, and that is God's word. So we pray that you continue to listen to this broadcast and that it be a blessing to you continually as it is for us. So always remember that the grass withers and the flowers fade. But we want you to know that the word of God will remain forever and ever. God bless you and continue to listen to this broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio.